information and evidence shows that Cemal Khashoggi was killed in a violent, savage murder.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan spoke in detail about the murder of dissident Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi for the first time today. While the murder has sparked international outrage, it's also shown a spotlight on Turkey's contentious relationship with Saudi Arabia and its own history with suppressing press freedoms. According to Amnesty International, Turkey has one of the highest rates of jailed journalists in the world. Borzu Daragahi is an international correspondent for The Independent based in Istanbul, Turkey. Hi, Borzu.
It's a pleasure.
So Erdogan was silent on Khashoggi's death for weeks. Why did he choose to speak now?
Well, he wasn't exactly silent. He spoke about this tragedy. Where is this journalist? He did bring him up. He mentioned him. But he didn't lay out the case and confirm some of the evidence as he did today. Knowing a little bit about him, he's a pretty emotional guy. So I don't think it's just, you know, pure politics. But that is also an issue. You know, Turkey and Saudi Arabia have been at odds for 5 years. Since the coup in Egypt in 2013. And that tension has gotten even worse in the last 3 years with the rise of the young crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who has, you know, close ties to some people Erdogan considers enemies, including neoconservatives in Washington and so on. And he sees MBS as the sort of weak link that he can hammer away at. And so I think any consideration of what Erdogan is doing, what his timing is, and so on, has to take that factor into account.
Now, we also know that the Turkish government is, as much as they are outspoken about Khashoggi's murder, they have their own record on press suppression. And do you think that that's part of the calculation here in Erdogan's response?
I think that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he sees himself as an enemy of the free press. You know, he sees the journalists that he puts into jail and the newspapers that he shuts down not as paragons of free press, but as, you know, sort of hostile political organizations that are out to get him, hostile players who are lying and smearing him and so on. He doesn't see them necessarily as a free press. He doesn't see himself as a free press enemy. But I'm sure that his handlers, who have gotten a little bit better as of late, are making that calculation.
What about Turkey in terms of the rest of the region? Is it, where does it stand economically? What about the issues that it has itself with terrorism?
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of separate questions. But, you know, Turkey economically is in trouble. It's the lira, the Turkish lira is down 40% this year. However, one of the things that's kept the economy from completely tanking is real estate. And that's largely because of money pouring in from the Gulf and other countries. It also doesn't want to really, really upset the Trump administration. The director of the CIA was dispatched here yesterday. We're not privy to what the conversations were, but I'm sure some of the tone of what was talked about was to the effect of, please don't torpedo Mohammed bin Salman. We need him for our grand plan to confront Iran.
So then why are they doing this? Why are they speaking out against what happened here? It just seems like they're trying to have it two ways.
Absolutely. And that explains a lot of what the Turks are doing. They want it two ways. They want to get rid of MBS, or weaken him at least, and achieve some of their regional strategic goals in terms of torpedoing this plan to confront Iran and possibly kind of plunge the region into another war that Turkey is quite afraid of, while at the same time keeping that flow of capital coming from the Gulf and keeping the U.S. from punishing it over certain things, including the case of the bank, Halk Bank, that has been indicted in the U.S. and faces a possible very, very large fine for laundering Iranian money.
You mentioned that CIA Director Gina Haspel is there in Turkey, and I'm wondering, I know those conversations aren't public, but is there any sense that this could potentially help Turkey's relationship with the United States, or what's this visit about more generally?
Well, I think that, you know, Turkey senses that to some extent that it has, you know, the U.S. right where it wants it on this case. They have the means, they think, to really, really weaken this Saudi alliance, the Saudi, U.S., Israel, UAE, Egypt sort of alliance that Turkey perceives as being arrayed against it. And the Trump administration, kind of perhaps panicking a little bit over what Erdogan might do, may have dispatched the CIA director here to sort of try to talk reason to Erdogan, saying, look, you know, we don't have to do it this way. Please don't do it like this. Here's what we can offer, and possibly some implicit threats as well.
And what about the Turks themselves? What's the reaction been, if you can tell? Are they supporters? Are they supportive of Erdogan? Where do people stand right now?
Well, I mean, everyone is just totally intrigued by this story. It's an amazing, you know, sort of crime story. It's like an episode of The Americans or, you know, some kind of TV serial, kind of outlandish, unbelievable sort of details that are people here are just gobbling it up. But I think on a broader political level, you know, you have various constituencies in the Turkish political body. Some of them support Erdogan and some of them don't. But for various reasons, all of them are united in this case in wanting to know what happened to Jamal Khashoggi. I think not least of all because he's a Saudi citizen and an Arab, but he's also of Turkish descent. You know, in the Turkish newspapers, they write his name with the Turkish spelling, Jamal Khashoggi, and so on. That's a very popular name in Turkey. It means spoon maker. And so there's a lot of sympathy for this guy. He was here in Istanbul marrying a Turkish woman. Turks love that story and so on. He was here to he bought an apartment here. He was going to make it his home. And this story has fascinated them. But you have the Islamists who sympathize somewhat with Jamal Khashoggi's political points of view. You have the nationalists who view this as a violation of Turkish sovereignty. And you have the liberals, Democrats, secularists, so to speak, who see in Jamal Khashoggi just another journalist who was murdered by an authoritarian state. And so you have these three big constituencies in Turkey, and all are supporting this investigation.
Borzu Daragahi is an international correspondent for The Independent based in Istanbul, Turkey. Borzu, thank you for your reporting and stay safe out there.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.